This is the part two of the Kingdom of God Bible Seminar, and it's entitled The Kingdom is at Hand, the second part of what Christ said. He said it was the right time, that the time was fulfilled, and now he also ended it by saying that that the kingdom is at hand. And it's interesting if we think about that for a minute, that Christ is saying, okay, the time has come. Now we need to begin to build the church. But you have to have a long-range viewpoint to think about this, because 2,000 years is a long time. 4,000 years was a long time before Christ returned, or came, I should say, the first time. And now he said, well, the time has come when I must begin to preach the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. This was already planned, and he and the Father knew exactly what was going to transpire and what was going to have to happen. But he made the statement when he was here on earth, after he was baptized by John the Baptist, that the time has come. And he's been doing that now for 2,000 years. And it's awfully easy for people to say, right, I hear what you're saying, but nothing's happening. I don't see Christ returning. Nobody's coming back to fix this mess that we're in. And it just keeps getting worse. Well, that's one of the advantages of understanding prophecy, which is also part of understanding the gospel. But right now we want to focus on the fact that it is his good pleasure, God's pleasure, to give us the kingdom. He delights in doing that. If you want to look in, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just quote two different translations. Luke, the 12th chapter, in verse 32, one translation says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Another translation says, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." So it is the desire, strong desire, for Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and God the Father, to present us with the kingdom of God. He wants to do that. And he's been planning and working to develop a team for 2,000 years. How many more years will it be before Christ returns? I do not know. But if you study prophecy as we have, you will come to see that we are definitely closer today, much closer than 2,000 years ago. So we want to focus on the fact that the kingdom of God, as far as you and I are concerned, is at hand. It's a personal experience. It's not some academic understanding, but it is a deep personal relationship that we build with God and with Jesus Christ in order to be part of the family of God. It's a personal experience. It's not coming up the sawdust trail or just giving your heart to the Lord, but it's a matter of really deeply understanding what Christ meant when he said, repent and believe and change your way of life and be part of the family of God so that you can be in the kingdom of God when it comes to this earth. The kingdom of God, first preached by Christ, has become the focus of his message to mankind. Hebrews, the first chapter in verse 1, I will quote this for you. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. So in the Old Testament, the leaders were spoken to by the prophets that God inspired. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So he doesn't use prophets as he did before as his representative. He spoke to us directly through his Son, Jesus Christ, who was on the earth, who preached in all the cities and all the towns, and he or all of his preaching was recorded and then carried on by the apostles who then traveled out further throughout the world, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Christ is inheriting everything, and he is going to be totally in charge, through whom also he made the worlds. So that is what the Father is saying here through the pen of Paul. Matthew, the third chapter, in verses 1 through 3, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and said, what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The preaching and the knowledge now was, for the first time, opened up to many, many people. Not to everyone, as we'll see. But it was opened to the ones that God was calling. Not the way it was in the Old Testament, when only a handful of people really understood anything about the plan of God and the prophecies to come. But when Jesus Christ came, and we know this from, you remember Peter's experience in Acts the 10th chapter, where he learned that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at a race or a nationality. It's open to everyone. It isn't restricted. And so he says here in Matthew the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3, in those days John the Baptist came preaching and so on, and as I've already read, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So it was John the Baptist's responsibility to prepare the way, which he did. Matthew, the 4th chapter, in verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, John the Baptist, unfortunately, was thrown in prison and later beheaded by the emperor there. He departed and he went to Galilee. And in verse 17 of chapter 4, he said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's now. Now again, as I mentioned before, repentance is a deep personal experience between you and God. You have to have some knowledge of what God's way, the laws of God, and the way we're supposed to live in order for you to repent of the wrong way you're going. You can't repent of something that you don't know about. You have to understand. You have to be able to see. And that's what God gives us through his Spirit. Mark, the 1st chapter, and verses 14 through 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So not only did Christ come to preach about the kingdom and the benefits of the kingdom and how you and I could be part of the kingdom, but he also began to reveal what was necessary for us to be part of that family, and he has emphasized the word repent and believe. Believe the gospel. Believe that there is a kingdom coming. Believe, he said, what I'm telling you. I am, he said, Jesus Christ, and I'm going around, Christ said, preaching to all the cities about the kingdom of God. Believe it. Accept it. See the fruits of Christ and the healing and all the things he did. You remember what he said, if you don't want to believe me, at least believe me for the fruits or for the works that we've done. So God gave his Son all the power that he needed to be undisputed as far as the fact that he was the Son of God. No one else was able to do what Christ was able to do. And later on, we know of the example of Peter and John and Paul resurrecting people and so on, but they did it in the name of and by the authority of Jesus Christ. So once again, it was God's power, not theirs. But he's saying that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is at hand. You better think. You better repent. The key words here, when we were referring to this aspect of the time has come. In the Greek, it's pronounced kairos, or kairos, means fulfilled and at hand, indicate an immediacy and a sense of urgency. Look, ladies and gentlemen, how long do we live as human beings? We don't live 2,000 years. God's been working with people for 2,000 years. But, you know, we live 70, maybe 80, maybe, like my mother, 93 and a half. But it goes by fast. How long, you know, you can think very easily back 10 years ago and how fast 10 years went. You can look back in your life, and I know we have done this. We've looked back when we were a lot younger and we were doing this or we were doing that. And we have to realize, well, that was another life we had. That's no longer the case. And we kind of move in stages in our life. But it goes by quickly. And what does the Bible talk about? It talks about it's like the grass, you know, our lives. It comes and it goes. We're nothing. We don't live 2,000 years. We don't live 1,000 years. We don't even live 100 years, generally. We're lucky if we make it 70 or 80 in decent health. We may live longer, but maybe our mind goes and we can't understand anything anyway. So this is why he said, look, it's at hand. It's urgent. If God is calling you, if he's giving you understanding, and you're beginning to understand what we're saying here and what the Bible says, you need to move on that. You need to make progress in that direction. And you begin to respond and act on what knowledge God is giving you. There are three things to consider. And we'll talk more about repentance and faith and what we here in the church call the plan of God. I don't know that that's in the Bible any place, but we refer to it as God's plan or the plan of God, and we're going to be going into those things in future seminars. Because repentance and faith and understanding the plan of God is another very big subject, which we can't all cover in one short presentation. Second thing to think about, but in what way was the kingdom of God at hand when Jesus made this statement? How was it at hand? Why was it there more at that moment than at any other time? And as I mentioned before, 2,000 years ago, Christ still has not returned to establish the kingdom of God, but that's a good thing for you and I, because otherwise we wouldn't be sitting here listening to these things. In Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 13, he says that he has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We read about how Satan has deceived the world and how Christ is going to put Satan down. Satan represents the dark, deceived, confused aspect of life, and it's something that we don't want to be part of. But God's come in and he said, I am going to rescue you from the power of darkness and transfer you into my kingdom and make you a son. Now that's a pretty strong statement, and Paul is the one writing it in Colossians there in 1 and verse 13. But that's a promise, and that's something that we have to understand. We have to realize that this is what's on, or this is maybe a better way to state it, this is the objective of the Father and of Jesus Christ, to rescue us from darkness. That's why the whole plan of this thing of the kingdom of God was conceived, why it was already figured out from the foundation of the world, because God knew. And it started right back in the Garden of Eden what Satan would try to do. And he knew the weaknesses of humanity, and he knew that the chances were very good that humanity would give in to Satan's deception, which is exactly what happened. So he's allowing man to do what he wants, and he's allowing man to make his own decisions and to live out those decisions, and it's not working out too well. Two key points to consider this time in addition are: the gospel of the kingdom is the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Then we understand that to rescue us from the penalty of death and the power of darkness, of course, of Satan. It isn't something, this thing of, and I want to emphasize this as far as Satan is concerned, that isn't something that we kind of have an option on, where we can decide, well, yeah, I think I will listen or not listen to Satan's way. It is part of this society. He is the god of this world at this current time. And people are swayed by that and influenced by it, and they don't even realize it. And they don't know the difference between right and wrong, because Satan has, Revelation 12:9, deceived the whole world. Now, how can you get out of that situation? How can you get out of the darkness? There is only one way, and that's with God's Holy Spirit and with His understanding. And then you can begin, for the first time, to begin to see the difference, and you can refer back to the disciples and what we read in the first presentation. Who do men say that I am? Flesh and blood, he said, didn't reveal that to you, but my Father was in heaven. God is the one who gives us that understanding, and without it, we will be drawn in, surrounded by, and ruled by the power of darkness. The other point is, the gospel of the kingdom also offers us the opportunity to be prepared for and enrolled now, in this life, as a citizen of that coming kingdom. And that you find that in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So Satan will try to resist that. The society tries to resist it. Ultimately, we know from prophecy that the world will be attacking and resisting Jesus Christ when he returns. And he will have to subdue them physically. Now, why in the world human beings would try to annihilate, kill, and attack their Creator and their Savior is beyond understanding, unless, of course, they've been totally deceived by Satan, which they will have been. And that's what the Bible says. That citizenship is registered in heaven. In other words, the citizenship as far as being part of the family of God, where the coming King of Kings, Jesus Christ, now resides. He literally, and we know this from Revelation 20, he has a book. It says there is the book that's opened, and the books, plural, the Bible. The book of life has our name written in it if we have repented and we have given our life to God. Our name is written in there. And he says that there's a crown waiting for us, and not to lose that crown. But I'm getting ahead of the story. So that citizenship that we can experience some of the benefits of the coming kingdom of God now by living according to the laws, which this society doesn't understand, that will govern that kingdom when it is established on earth. Man has rejected the laws of God. We're not living in this country according, we're living according to some of the laws of God, but certainly don't understand the spiritual principles and God's way of life. So we can look forward to his return to earth when our mortal bodies will be transformed so that they may experience the fullness of the kingdom of God forever. That's what we're looking forward to once we understand the whole plan of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, I really enjoy this scripture because it reveals to us the way this whole system is right now. And it gives us the answers to what's going to happen to us in the future. Now this I say, Paul said, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When that kingdom returns, flesh and blood is not going to be inheriting it. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. He said, behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, we will read some more about this thing of mystery, because it is a mystery to this world. They do not understand the gospel of the kingdom of God. They just do not understand it. And that's why Paul called it a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So the gospel offers that invitation now as an opportunity of training. And this is the thing that we need to understand. Right now, God's calling people, giving them understanding, and he expects them to respond to that understanding. And as they respond to that understanding which he has given them, he will give them more. If they don't respond, then that understanding stops. And as he said, if they still don't respond to it, then even that little bit of understanding is taken away. But the gospel offers an invitation now as an opportunity of training and qualifying to assist Jesus Christ as priests in that coming kingdom. And when we use the word qualifying, we don't earn salvation. But we are training and getting ready for. It's just like a pilot or anything. He receives his training, and finally he qualifies to solo. And he's allowed to fly a simpler airplane by himself. And once he becomes proficient with that, then he can upgrade to a faster and a more sophisticated. And eventually he's flying F-15, F-18s, and landing on aircraft carriers. But he doesn't start out. They don't just solo him and say, okay, get in the F-18 and make a carrier landing, because he would end up in the ocean or smashing into the ship. So it takes time to learn and to be qualified or to be trained to be able to do the job that Christ is calling us to do. And that is the job we'll be doing in the kingdom. In Revelation, the first chapter, in verses 5 and 6, Jesus Christ, that says, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, he was the first one resurrected, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, has made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. So he's developing us into a kingdom of priests. He's working with us. And he's not going to give up in that working with us. He continues to deal with us and help us. Revelation 5 and verse 9. They, the 24 elders, sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. They're referring to Christ. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on the earth. We ain't going to heaven, folks. We're going to be reigning, and the kingdom is going to be set up right here on this earth, and it's going to straighten out the mess that we're in today. Finally, Jesus made some important distinctions regarding who may be part of the kingdom of God. First of all, we must be called and chosen by God. Notice Paul's explanation of this wonderful calling and privilege in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. He said, God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not because he looked down and could see what a wonderful person we were, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is mercy, undeserved pardon, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So this was the plan. And how God decides to call people and who he calls is up to him. But it's not because of our works. Acts, the second chapter in verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children. Now this is right after Acts 2:38. Which says that when the people ask, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the next verse says, for the promise, that is receiving God's Spirit, is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. It depends on God and how many people or who he calls. John 6 and verse 65, and also in John 6:44, he said, therefore I have said to you that, this is Christ speaking, and he's telling his disciples, look, this is why I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Nobody can come to God, I can't emphasize this enough, unless God draws him or gives him or her his Holy Spirit. And you have to go back to John 14 to see that God's Holy Spirit works with us. It draws us. It gives us understanding, bringing us to that thing we talked about earlier called repentance. And then, after we repent and we've been baptized, we receive God's Holy Spirit in us, as part of us, and we become officially written down in that book of life, and a crown, a sign, our name on it. That's the way it is. And God makes that very clear. And then our training really begins to prepare us for the job he's called us to do. So God handpicks those who are to become Christ's disciples at this time. Now, everybody will get an opportunity in the future. But God is hand-picking. That's what the Bible says. Christ said, you can't come to me unless the Father draws you first. And that's the Father's choice. John 12 and verse 32, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people, Christ said, to myself. So ultimately, everybody will be part, or will at least receive understanding, and hopefully they respond to it. So God will, the whole plan is to extend the kingdom of God to all mankind. But currently, the majority of mankind has not been given the privilege to understand. How many people do you know that understand what I'm talking about right now? Who really understand this? Who could repeat this? Oh, yeah, I understand the whole plan of God. And the kingdom of God and Christ's return and being called, and you don't know anybody like that. Currently, the majority of mankind has not been given the privilege to understand. To them, God's salvation plan is a mystery that they do not and cannot understand. Okay, here's a little proof of that. Christ's words. You say, well, that's your opinion. Well, let me read what Jesus Christ said. Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. His disciples came to him and ask him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? Now, the many churches say, oh, that's so people can understand more clearly. And Christ said exactly the opposite. Why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And he replied, Jesus Christ answered, you are permitted, in other words, having been granted understanding, to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but the others are not. It's a secret, folks. And if God doesn't open your mind, you will not understand. You are permitted, he said to the disciples, to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but the others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. If they respond and they understand, obviously God's giving them understanding, more understanding will be given. And they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, the majority, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen and understand. This fulfills the prophecy, Christ said, of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear. And of course, Satan is there helping that happen. And their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people have longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. If you understand, you have a responsibility. Jesus Christ said, the Father must draw those who come to him. This is not a light thing. This is a relationship between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ. And it's his personal calling. As he says here in John 6:44, no man can come to me, Christ said, unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. The question is God drawing you? One of the ways you can find out is simply ask yourself the question, do I understand? Now, if you understand, then you're responsible to respond. Because you can't understand, because the Bible and Jesus Christ makes it clear that unless you have been called, you cannot understand. It's a secret. It's a mystery. And even though someone explains it to you, Christ said, we just read it in Matthew 13, they hear, but they don't get it. It's like talking to a brick or a wall. They don't understand. Even though clearly explained, they still don't get it. You've received the most important invitation of all time. The question is, how will you respond? What must you do to respond to God's calling? You can accept God's calling by committing yourself to live God's way and living by faith in every aspect of life. And of course, that's another big aspect of education and learning, because now you have to learn, well, what is God's way? And how do I live that way? Which we're more than happy to share with you. This means to live your lives, and this is a very simple thumbnail explanation, live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. This is what he called us to do. So if you understand, then you're being called and you understand as a result of that what you're hearing today, then the next step is for you to respond to that. In Romans, the 10th chapter, in verses 14 through 15, he said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Obviously, you can't call on God if you don't even believe in him. "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" So if they've never even heard of it, they certainly don't believe it, you can't respond. "And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things." These verses spell out exactly why we are holding these Kingdom of God Bible seminars, so that you can hear the message of the gospel of the kingdom, and that God will result, or that, and pardon me, so that you can hear the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God that will result in peace on earth when Jesus Christ returns to establish that kingdom. That's the purpose of doing this. It is our responsibility, given to us by Jesus Christ as part of his church and the ones he has already called, to share that information with the others that God is calling. If God's opening your mind, then we are here to serve you, to guide you, to direct you. And we have the literature and information that will help guide you through the Bible. We don't want you to just read the booklet. We want you to study the Bible and see what does God say. And you're going to need to invest time and effort and work into it yourself. But that's part of responding to the calling that God has given us. So we need to make it very, very clear, on the other hand, that Paul tells us in Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 23, no one can earn salvation. It is a gift of God. But he does expect us to live his way of life and to emulate the way things will be in his kingdom, and to be an example and to be an ambassador. But salvation is a gift from God. However, we must follow, of course, the teachings that God of Jesus Christ, or we're not going to be given the gift. Revelation, the 1st chapter and verse 3, he said, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Our time in life goes by quickly. You don't have all day. 10 years can go by and slip by very quickly. I've talked with people, I've known people who have thought about this for 5 years, 10 years, in some cases 20 years before they begin to act on it. Why waste that much time? If God's calling you, you need to respond quickly to this and to begin to put effort and time and thinking into it and prayer into it, so that you can build a relationship between you and God. The events prophesied in the book of Revelation leading up to the end of the age and the return of Jesus Christ to establish that kingdom on the earth are much nearer now than they were when the prophecy book was written, that's for sure. So as we have emphasized throughout the series so far of the seminars, we need God's kingdom right now. That's what we need. There's no question about that. We needed it a year ago. We needed it 10 years ago. We needed it 50 years ago. Well, we really needed it about 6,000 years ago. The good news is that you can become part of the kingdom of God now, although the kingdom is not set up on this earth at this point. But you can be part, you can have your citizenship in heaven and be part of the spiritual family of God, preparing to rule in the kingdom of God, so that you and I can share when Christ returns with the rest of the world, when their minds will be open, which is clearly taught in the Bible. So when Christ returns, we can share that opportunity and bring peace to the earth and ultimately to mankind. Now, the next seminar we're going to cover in detail more of how we can respond to God's calling and become enrolled in and participate in the kingdom of God. Next week, I'm planning to talk about the plan of God, or God's plan, as revealed through the holy days. So if you would like to join us at church services next Sabbath at the same time, we'll be holding regular church services right here at 2 o'clock, and we will be, and the sermon subject will be the plan of God revealed through the holy days. So I hope that this has been helpful to everyone, and I hope that if you understand, that you will respond.